For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine Online. The Black Girl's Guide to Travel, inside Disney's second annual Cool Kids Summer 2026 event. From remixed rides to new shows and character meetups, this year's lineup is packed with savings for families looking to squeeze in summer fun before back to school hits. And this article is by Essence Editors. While so much conversation about summer travel plans centers on solo getaways, girls' trips, and vacations, some of the most fun one can have during this time of year is actually when traveling with family. Don't look at me like that, sis. It's true. This is especially true when you go to places that truly have something for everyone in the travel group. A wide array of food options, poolside relaxation, shopping, dancing, and roller coasters. Disney is great for that variety. Last year, I got to experience all the fun that can be had during the first Cool Kids Summer at Disney World in Orlando. This year, I returned with my whole family, and the experience was even more enjoyable because it was even more stacked. Running through September 8th, 2026, this year's lineup brings remixed attractions, new shows, characters galore, and savings for families who want to partake in the fun before back-to-school season comes knocking. Here's what's worth knowing so you and your babies, your nieces and nephews, or maybe even just the very big kids in your life can book your tickets. Rockin' Roller Coaster, starring the Muppets, is a vibe. This revamped version of Rockin' Roller Coaster is now available for good time galore at Disney's Hollywood Studios. With new celebrity cameos and tunes from today's biggest voices, literally and figuratively, Jennifer Hudson, Kelly Clarkson, and more, it's the perfect thrill ride for the family. Bonus, the fun Muppet and rock-inspired merch you can shop once you step off the ride is worth sticking around for and spending some coin on. Goofy Corps. We know Mickey Mouse gets most the love, but don't sleep on all the fun that can be had with Goofy. We had the chance to enjoy learning some dance moves with the toothy character, doing a conga line, limbo competition, and more. I even tapped into my inner child by taking part alongside my oldest son and Goofy in bringing up and down the old school rainbow parachute. Bluey and Bingo are the newest park characters. Can anybody else hear that theme song in their heads at the name of Bluey? Well, the popular character and her little sister Bingo can now be found and given big hugs at Disney's Animal Kingdom, where families can dance along with the sister pups when visiting Conservation Station, the park's Wildlife Conservation Center. Toy Story is putting on a show at Magic Kingdom. Line dance anyone? Just in time for Toy Story 5. Woody, his boo Jessie, friend Bullseye, and more are the stars of a new show at the Diamond Horseshoe, a restaurant found at Magic Kingdom. Dining is on pause until the fall, though. We caught a preview of the fun to come, and there are plenty of songs, dancing, games, and more playful activities sure to have the whole party up, clapping their hands and stomping their feet. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad is back. This ride, which has undergone a revamp as well, may look unassuming, but the twists and turns it takes, thankfully no dips though, will have you throwing your hands in the air and waving them like you just don't care. Or maybe that's just me. Resort fun. All the resorts on the theme park's vast property have something different, but always something cool to offer. I stayed at Disney's Port Orleans Resort, which through the architecture reminded me of the many times I've been to New Orleans for Essence Festival of Culture. In addition to great food at Wainwright's and the Riverside Mill Food Court, there was a fun playground for my sons to let out extra energy, a pool for those interested in taking a dip, and there were many child. A spa for fishing, and charming, cozy guest rooms. What I missed that you shouldn't. Listen, when you're traveling with others, you may miss some things, but the classic Soarin' ride has been given the special treatment at Epcot. It's been revamped to Soarin' Across America to celebrate the country's 250th birthday. Star Wars lovers are encouraged to visit Star Wars Galaxy Edge at Hollywood Studios for fun with The Mandalorian and Grogu. Zootopia has now inspired a 4D show, that means cool puppets, at the Animal Kingdom. And speaking of new shows, Disney Junior Mickey Mouse Club Live is bringing some new energy to its party with help from Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Daisy the Duck, and Pluto the Pup. And Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin, another ride that's been refreshed in time for Cool Kids Summer, takes its intergalactic mission to the next level with new blasters and targets. Let's talk discounts. Getting to do more for less is also fun, right? Free access to a Walt Disney World water park on your day of check-in is available, but that is if you're staying at one of the Disney resorts. Get a four-day, four-park magic ticket to visit the four theme parks, one park per day, starting at $109 per day, and a four-night, four-day Walt Disney Travel Company package with a Disney resort stay and tickets that include the park hopper option can secure your family a free dining plan to make sure you're all well-fed after gallivanting around the heat for hours. And of course, Florida residents and annual pass holders get some great discounts when staying at a Disney resort for four nights or more. There's so much to see and do, much of which you just won't be able to cover because of how vast each park is. But you will certainly have a great time trying as you explore all the fun with some very cool kids this summer at Disney World. The Obamas unveil first ever joint commissioned portrait by Jika Adunhili Crosby. Barack and Michelle Obama have been the subjects of celebrated portraits before, but a newly unveiled work at the Obama Presidential Center marks a first for the former first couple. And this article is by Okla Jones. Recently, the Obama Presidential Center revealed its inaugural commissioned portrait of Barack and Michelle Obama together. Created by acclaimed artist Nijika Akunili Crosby, the large-scale piece will greet visitors in the museum lobby when the center opens in Chicago on Juneteenth. Known for blending photography, painting, and layered imagery, she brings both the public and personal sides of the Obamas into a single frame. The work incorporates photographs, family references, historical materials, and cultural touchstones tied to the couple's lives and experiences. Rather than focusing solely on their years in the White House, the portrait traces a broader story about history and the path that led them to national leadership. Several details nod to Michelle's upbringing on Chicago's South Side. Her childhood home appears in the background, accompanied by references to her family history. Elsewhere, visual elements allude to the presidency, while placing equal emphasis on the lives the Obamas built before entering public office. The artists listen to all of the Obamas' interviews, videos, and podcasts in order to get a feel of who they are. I wanted to make the decision that tapped into those memories, the artist told the Obamas in the video on social media. So when you saw this, it felt familiar. The unveiling arrived just days before the opening of OPC, a project in the years making. Art plays a significant role throughout the campus, with dozens of commissioned works featured throughout the site. This artist joins a roster of artists that includes Carrie Mae Weems, Rasheed Johnson, Lorna Simpson, Julie Meritu, Jeffrey Gibson, Nick Cave, and Allison Saar. The Obama Presidential Center opened on June 19th in Chicago. Next, dating decoded, when there are more options but less commitment. Maybe modern dating doesn't need more options. Maybe it needs more courage. And this article is by Shay Primus. In modern dating, situationships are everywhere. People are hooking up, talking every day, even building routines together. But if you ask if they're in a relationship, the answer is no. Dating didn't always look like this. It used to be you met outside in real life. He approaches and asks for your number. You go on a few dates and he asks you to be his girlfriend. A few years later, or maybe just a year if you're lucky, he asks you to be his wife and you get married. Now, you meet online, exchange numbers, get asked to Netflix and chill, and end up in a sexual connection that can last for months with no real rules, boundaries, or clarity. If you've been talking for months with no progression, you're not building a relationship, you're maintaining access. Part of the shift is cultural. Honestly, I blame the music, and I'm only half joking. We're missing vulnerability in R&B. Music from the 90s and 2000s gave us men who expressed pursuit, yearning, devotion, even apology. Women weren't afraid to admit they were so gone or weak in the knees. There was emotional honesty. Today, everyone is so nonchalant. No one wants to look thirsty. And in that shift, we've started rewarding emotional detachment over emotional intention. It shows up in the language, too. We don't court anymore. We talk. We don't pursue. We shoot a text and see what happens. Even the words we use have gotten smaller, lower stakes, and easier to walk away from without consequence. And when the language shrinks, so does the expectation. So where's the romance? Where's the whining and dining? Who is applying pressure and saying, I want you? Social media certainly doesn't help. We're constantly fed the idea that someone better, hotter, or more available is one swipe away on the apps and in the DMs. So why commit to clarity when ambiguity keeps your options open? But options without intention are just noise. A full inbox isn't the same as a full heart. Maybe modern dating doesn't need more options. Maybe it needs more courage. Courage to be vulnerable. Courage to pursue intentionally. The courage to say, I want a relationship with you without pretending to be unbothered or nonchalant. Because love cannot thrive in ambiguity, and indecision is still indecision. Houston raised them. Podcasting made them global. Inside Poor Minds, Houston Homecoming. The duo behind Poor Minds reflects on 8 years of growth, grief, and ownership as their Houston homecoming becomes a celebration of Black podcasting success. And this article is by Shelby Stewart. Before there was a brand, before the tour dates and the national recognition and the half-million-strong fan base, there were two Houston women bartending, figuring out Atlanta, and recording themselves talk. Drea Nicole and Lex P. met while bartending in Houston, eventually made the move to Atlanta, and built Poor Minds from nothing, including a milestone moment when they realized the podcast was becoming a real business after earning their first $86 from ads. 8 years later, that scrappy origin story has become one of the most remarkable runs in independent podcasting. Since launching in 2018, Poor Minds has grown to nearly 200,000 subscribers with a fan base of 500,000 and counting. The show is now distributed through Charlemagne the God's Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeart Podcasts. And the duo has appeared everywhere from Power 105.1's The Breakfast Club to the 2024 BET Awards and the Essence Festival of Culture. They've also written Pour Into Your Pod, an ebook and video course sharing the blueprint they built for themselves with aspiring creators. Now they've hit the road for the Still Sippin' Tour, a multi-city North American run with stops in New York, Atlanta, Houston, Chicago, and more. And the conversation around longevity feels especially apt. Most podcasts lack consistency and authenticity, which is why they don't make it past the first year, Drea Nicole says. We showed up every week, even when we were tired, sad, grieving, annoyed, or heartbroken. Both women have lost a parent, and their collective grief have made them both all the more relatable to their ever-growing audience. Drea's father passed away in 2020, Lex's mother in 2022, and they kept releasing episodes through both. That's the thing about Poor Minds that gets lost when people describe it as a drunk therapy session with your friends, which is, to be fair, exactly how the show brands itself. The casualness is real, but so is the infrastructure behind it. People see 1 or 2 hours of conversation each week, Lex P said, but they don't see the days of planning, production, scheduling, marketing, editing, and problem solving that happen behind the scenes. Sitting down and recording is probably the easiest part of the job. Their secret, they've always said, is authenticity. It's a word that gets overused in creator spaces, but in Poor Minds' case, it comes with a track record. They have been openly wrong on air, publicly evolved, and watched their audience respond to both. Absolutely, I've changed my mind, Lex said on past controversial opinions that she's since changed. If you haven't changed your mind in 8 years, you might not be paying attention. The only difference is I do it in front of thousands of people, and they come with receipts. The show has rebranded in feel over the years, less chaotic than in its early days, more grounded, and it's been part of their journey as creators and as women. While some listeners acknowledge the shift, Drea is unbothered. If you're not growing, you're stagnant. We're always more concerned about being happy with who we are than with being who other people want us to be. That independent mindedness is also a business philosophy. Signed to 85 South Media, the Poor Minds duo has maintained ownership of their platform, something Drea flagged as central to how they operate now that survival is no longer the primary concern. Money and survival aren't always the main focus anymore, she said. Alignment with the right opportunities, creating quality content, continuing to grow our audience, and building a media empire are our primary focuses now. The media empire framing isn't ego, it's infrastructure. LexP also hosts Love LexP, a weekly solo show, and starred in a season of Kev on Stage Frederick's Safe Space on Tubi. And the pair starred on Travel Queens on BET, a series following Black women as they explore new cities and cultures. The Poor Minds universe has expanded well beyond the couch, but it keeps coming back to that couch, and this summer's to the stage. In their hometown stop in Houston, the pair hosted an emotional sold-out show at the Bayou City Music Center in downtown Houston. Of course, they ran through the pod's popular segments, which include discussing music, sex, and offering unfiltered advice to their listeners. The show also had a few special surprise guests, including Houston raptress Ken the Man and Paul Wall, as well as content creator and influencer Frankie Blow. Some of the audience participated in dance competitions and got raw and candid guidance around navigating some tricky romantic relationships. Altogether, the show was equal parts hilarious, raunchy, and all the trappings of a good night with your girlfriends. When asked what Black women in podcasting have actually built over the last decade, LexP didn't hesitate. For a long time, Black women's voices, perspectives, and stories were ignored in media, so being part of helping change that is an honor. She framed it as a door that needs to stay open. Our goal is to open as many doors as possible and then leave them unlocked. The Houston stop of the Still Sippin' Tour carried a particular charge. Coming back to Houston means everything to us, Lex continued. Selling it out in your hometown is a different kind of validation because those are the people who knew you before any of this existed. Drea agreed, adding the message that she wants the room to take home. Big dreams can absolutely come from familiar streets. Former Turkey Leg Hut co-owner Lindell Lynn Price pleads guilty in federal arson case. The former Turkey Leg Hut co-owner admitted to conspiracy to commit arson in connection with the 2020 fire and explosion at Houston's Bar 5015 as his ex-wife Nakia Holmes begins a new chapter with a Third Ward food pop-up. And this article is by Shelby Stewart. Former Turkey Leg Hut co-owner Lynn Price has pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit arson in connection with the 2020 fire and explosion at a Houston bar, making the latest legal development for the once prominent Houston restaurateur. According to federal court records, Price, 42, entered the guilty plea last week in a case stemming from the June 2020 fire at Bar 5015, a popular Houston nightlife venue owned by one of his former business partners. Details of the plea agreement have not yet been publicly released. Federal prosecutors allege that Price orchestrated a plot to set fire to the establishment, recruiting and paying others to carry out the attack. According to the indictment, Price enlisted Armani Williams, 27, and John Lee Price, 39, along with others, to pour gasoline on the entrance of Bar 5015 and ignite it. The fire triggered an explosion in the early morning hours of June 12, 2020, shaking homes throughout the surrounding area and sending debris across the neighborhood. The Houston Fire Department quickly determined the incident was intentional. Firefighters responding to the scene reported a strong gasoline odor and discovered at least one gas can nearby. Days later, investigators released surveillance footage that allegedly showed two individuals dousing the building with gasoline before setting it ablaze. Prosecutors also accused Price of directing a separate arson involving a stolen 1975 Chevrolet Nova. Federal authorities alleged that he paid John Lee Price and others to set the fire in an unrelated incident. Price rose to prominence as the co-owner of Turkey Leg Hut, the Houston restaurant that became a cultural phenomenon and destination for celebrities, tourists, and locals alike. At its peak, the Third Ward establishment was celebrated as one of the city's most recognizable Black-owned businesses, drawing lines around the block and earning national attention. In recent years, however, the restaurant became embroiled in legal disputes, financial troubles, and public controversy before ultimately closing its doors. Back in March, Price attempted to rebuild, partnering with Tiger Two Dozen for a char-grilled oyster pop-up outside of the former TLH restaurant. The guilty plea comes as Price's ex-wife and former business partner, Nikia Holmes, works to chart a new path forward. Earlier this month, Essence reported that Holmes is returning to Houston's culinary scene with a new turkey leg pop-up in the city's Third Ward. After years of navigating the rise and fall of Turkey Leg Hut, Holmes described the adventure as an opportunity to start over and reconnect with the community that helped build the restaurant into a household name. The timing highlights the dramatically different chapters unfolding for the former spouses. While Price awaits sentencing in a federal court after admitting his role in the arson conspiracy, Holmes has focused on rebuilding her business from the ground up. For many Houstonians, the story marks another turn in the unraveling of restaurant that once symbolized Black entrepreneurship, community, and cultural influence in the city. Now, as one former owner faces the consequences of a federal criminal case and the other attempts a fresh start, the legacy of Turkey Leg Hut continues to evolve in unexpected ways. How Hanahana Beauty's Glow Butter event helped me overcome my cold plunge fears. In honor of their new Glow Butter Minis launch, Hanahana Beauty hosted a cold plunge and Pilates event. Here's how it went. This article is by Akili King. Essence Senior Beauty and Style Editor Akili King believes glow is more than skin deep. In the ritual report, she shares personal healing practices from acupuncture for skin and grounding benefits to dopamine dressing designed to inspire readers to find creative ways to soothe their nervous systems and reclaim their magic from the inside out. As a beauty editor who sees, tests, and writes about thousands of beauty products, I'm not afraid to say that, at times, the industry can feel transactional. We get sent something, we test it, we write about it, end of story, literally. Then there are brands who stop us in our tracks and make us feel a part of something bigger. That's definitely the case when it comes to Hanahana Beauty, a brand known for their Ghana-made shea butter products, founded by Abima Boma Achimpong. Be it their walking club in Chicago or a boat party to celebrate their best-selling glow butter, each launch brings the community together. And not just to celebrate their products, but also to inspire joy, togetherness, and wellness. The recent launch for their glow butter minis was no different. Honestly, the community inspired us to launch glow minis. Originally, we intended for glow butter to be a limited edition product, she tells me after her Brooklyn event. Instead, Glow Butter quickly became a staple within the Hanahana Beauty community, repeatedly selling out and generating a wait list of more than 700 customers, she adds. Glow Butter Minis bring Hanahana Beauty's cult favorite Glow Butter into a TSA-safe, travel-friendly format designed for moisture and glow on the go. The products themselves are filled with ingredients like shea butter, mango butter, avocado oil, lanolin, and more. And with every application, you'll be left, as the name suggests, glowing and shimmering underneath the sun. When we formulated Glow Butter, we wanted it to be a reflective glow, like a red carpet glow moment, but also extremely moisturizing, Abina shares. We didn't want a Y2K glitter moment. We wanted something that honestly made you pop into the sun and was safe for people with sensitive skin to use, like me. So we made sure to use natural mica, as well as formulate the scent so it's not overwhelming. To commemorate the moment, Abana brought her Brooklyn community together for an evening of mat Pilates, taught by Monique Small, matcha, and cold plunges. And if you know me, you know I love Pilates and matcha. But you also know that I have an aversion to the cold, to the point I will drink a hot latte even on a warm day most of the time. I'd like to thank my low iron for this. That said, you can imagine I've never willingly dunked my body into an ice-cold bath for any reason, and there's a lot of lengths I go to for wellness, so this says a lot. With that, I went to the evening already having pre-decided that I wouldn't be participating in the cold plunge portion of the event. I came to commune, celebrate the amazing launch, drink some matcha, and go home. But hearing Abena muse about how much she loved doing cold plunges, in addition to the ice-cold guide Lauren Schramm discussing the benefits, I was becoming more and more curious, especially as someone who has lately been experiencing eczema flare-ups. I feel more and more willing to try any and everything to solve the issue. especially since Abana mentioned to me it might be soothing because it's cold. If you do it, I'll do it with you. To me, that was true community because Abana knew I wasn't really open to doing it. But being assured by her and also knowing that you could do it as a group made me feel like this might be the right time to finally try this out, especially because the ice plunges I've typically seen have you in the bath solo, which seems like it might be even more difficult. With that, I decided to do it. When it was finally our turn, Abana and I went in with two other ladies who were also not the most excited about plunging, but we had the moral support of each other, which helped. Surprisingly, though, everyone was able to get in immediately. Not me, though. I lingered on the edge of the bath for the first minute or so, just allowing my legs to adjust to the freezing cold temperature. To me, it was painful, honestly. I felt dramatic being the only one not able to get in all the way right away, but I was struggling. After the first minute or two, my legs began to adjust, and I was able to ease the rest of my body in for a full minute. It weirdly began to feel good. And with that, I was reminded of how rewarding it is to do the hard things. This is one I definitely do again. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, NorthCarolinaReadingService.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.